What's up, what's happening, and welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke, where we give you what you need, even if you don't think you need it.
How y'all doing? I like that little end.
Doing great.
I missed y'all too.
It seems like it's been so long.
It's been too long.
I knew.
Oh my goodness. You know me too well.
I do. How y'all been? What's been up?
Woo.
Jesus. I turned 29. Birthday.
Hey. Yeah, happy birthday. Happy belated.
And school's out.
Yes.
And I got to see my baby and she don't look like no skeleton baby no more. So it's just been a good week.
Not a skeleton baby.
Listen, you look like a whole skeleton baby before. And now it's like, oh, look at them little cheekies. And it was so nice. I wanted to be in that bitch forever. Like, when she was like, she gave me the towel to wipe my stomach. I was like, bitch, like, we're not done. I'm not done. Put that shit back up. I can be here all day looking at her.
Right.
So it was nice.
That's good.
Yeah. Anything else? What about y'all? That was it. Just birthday.
My week has been rough, to be quite honest.
Oh,
it's been a rough week. I found out my college roommate from college had passed away. And so it's just been a really rough time, accepting that this is reality, because it still seems so unreal. I mean, we were roommates all throughout college. We were the same major. We did a lot of things together. And so I'm still at a loss and in just an extreme disbelief that he is gone. But I mean, I understand everything happens for a reason, but this has just been a very hard loss for me and a lot of our friends from college and family from college. And so we've been mourning trying to be there for his family and everything, but it's just been really difficult. But people have been coming together in support during this very difficult time. But yeah, that my week has been, it's not been a good week, I'll be completely honest. Yeah. And then hearing that news and then also having to still be productive at work, dealing with the bullshit, to be quite honest. And so I'm just at another level now. Like, I feel like I'm into another level of understanding regarding just life and time and those types of things. And so there's a lot of stuff going into 2019 that I will no longer deal with. And we'll be making plans to elevate and move forward despite whatever people may think and all those other types of things. But I won't, take up too much time with that. No. Yeah, my week has just been a little tough. It's been tough. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, I'm sorry too.
Yeah.
It definitely does make you just want to appreciate people more.
Right.
And then, like you said, not dealing with no bullshit. It's like, I ain't got time. No. If you're not feeding goodness into my life, I got to cut you loose. Because life is too short to be dealing with the bullshit. Fast. So
it really is.
But you've definitely really been in my thoughts and my prayers and his family.
My prayers too.
Thank you so much.
I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, thank you all so much. It's been hard. But, you gotta keep going and just stay prayed up and stay strong and move forward.
Yeah. Have you taken any time aside to yourself to pray or
actually. I've really taken some time to truly reflect and writing down some things and really wanting to focus on releasing certain things, certain things that aren't working, things that are probably not going to work, and just really trying to create space for all the great things that are going to come in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be boggled down with negativity or things that I'm trying to make work that clearly aren't working. I want to find out new ways to do things and really just move the needle forward in terms of how I can be a support to other people and how I can also do that with a very clear conscious and just a really elevated sense of self, and really be strong in who I am and what I can do. So just trying to be clear about those things. So yeah, thanks, bro, for asking that question. I've absolutely taken some time, even when I'm at work, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, yes.
There are people here that will try you, and I'm already at a point where I'm no longer, you know, they can't even try me at this point. But at the same time, I've been very clear about taking that time to really evaluate, really just sit in reflection and be really clear about what it is that I want, what it is that I would like to see happen, and how I can achieve those things.
Yes.
And so I've just been very clear, like very clear, and trying to stay focused above anything else, rising above the bullshit, having a clear mind, and really, again, feeding that focus so that I can move forward in a very positive way, because life is short and there are things that I want to do and things that I'm gonna do, but it's a matter of like filling out and like creating that vision, having that strong vision for what it is that you want to see happen in your life and other people's lives that you care about, all those types of things that have been on my mind heavy, but in a good. So I'm really trying to cultivate these thoughts, these feelings, and really mold them into something so productive and so amazing. So I've been taking the time to do that for sure.
Good.
Very good.
Well, yes. I'm going to continue to play with you in this time.
Yes, thank you.
And if you need anything, definitely feel free to reach out, because, you know, I'm always here for you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank both of you all. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. I know you'd be there for us.
Right,
so. Ain't nothing but a chicken wing, friend.
Ain't that it?
Garlic parmesan at that.
Yes. You know the flavor.
It's my fave. What about you, Josh? How's your week, your weekend?
So, okay, since we last recorded, I got a new job. So I now have an assistant director position at a senior living facility here in Indiana, Northwest Indiana. And they gave me exactly what I asked for. So the funny part is that, like, I was listening to an episode of Getting Grown, and they were talking about how, like, you have to make sure that you ask for what you're worth, you know? You know, and I've always heard that, like, whenever they give you an offer, you never take the first offer. You take, you know, you counter offer and blah, blah, blah. So I did that, and I was nervous, but they gave me exactly what I asked for, and I'm happy about it. Like, I'm really happy about it, because now not only am I getting, you know, the experience that I deserve, and I'm using my degree, you know, and the things that I actually went to school for, but I also am getting compensated for the thing, or the way that I need to be compensated. So I'm excited about it.
Closed mouths don't get fed.
Ain't that it?
Ow.
And I let my current employer know. And so my last day with them, they weren't mad. They were sad. And I was surprised to see that they would be sad. I thought that it would just be like business as usual.
Right.
But it wasn't. They were actually like, they were happy because, you know, I'm moving up, but they were sad that I was leaving, and I wasn't expecting that. I was like,
because they don't want to train nobody else.
They know your value. Their company. Try to replace that, because you were dedicated beyond belief.
Bro,
right.
That's something that they're going to just sit up here and dig out and just be like, okay, we got somebody else. No, y'all have to work hard as hell for all of that that you just walked up out of your door. And look at it and understand that.
Facts.
Yeah. They'll do better next time.
Right.
That's what they did.
They do. They really do have to do better. Like, because it wasn't the job that was the problem. It was them. Like, you know, the pressure that's put on by people. It's like, you have to chill sometimes, and you have to allow people to shine and do what they do best, you know, and allow that time that it takes to actually get things accomplished that need to be accomplished, because if you invest that time, you know, it might take a little longer than you expected to get it done. Right. But if it's solidified and if it's done correctly, you never have to worry about doing those things again.
Exactly.
You know? But
doing it right the first time. You know,
not my circus, not my monkeys. Okay. And so
you have like one more week to go.
Yeah, my last day is the 28th. So
okay, cool.
This Friday,
they better throw you a party.
Something. I need something.
Some liquor, whiskey jam, Henny Palooza, mini Henny Palooza. Drink for me.
Yes. Turn up for the one time.
So when do you start your new job?
I start on the 14th of January. So
that nigga, and you got, you made yourself a nice.
Yes, a nice little cushion.
That was a little good ass plan.
Yeah, because I mean, I just like, I have to prepare myself. I have to get into the mind state, you know, of being a full leader now. Like, you know,
right.
I have to refresh on my skills, you know, because it's been a little while, you know, that I've actually used the things that I went to school for. So I got to freshen up and, you know, get my mind right.
You got it.
Prepare for the new year, period. Yeah. Like, you know, I really want to have a vision board party. So, like, just get a whole bunch of materials and supplies and stuff and then just invite friends over and we just drink and do, you know, our vision boards and stuff.
Yeah.
When are you having that party? When are you having that?
That's a good question. I think I want to do it on maybe
can
not.
It be after the first?
It can be after the first. Because I don't want to do it on like New Year's Eve or whatever, because that's when everybody is turning up and trying to just have a good time. You know?
Yeah.
But I do want to do it at the top of the year sometime so everybody can just come and, you know, really be on the same accord and get all of their intentions out and put on their boards so we can really make some things come true. Because I know I have a feeling when it comes to these types of things, and I believe within my heart of hearts that 2019 is the year that you are to walk through the door into your destiny. And so you have to start setting it up.
2019 about to be my year.
It is.
You hear me?
It is. Like, I'm excited about it, and I want to be prepared personally, and I want all of my closest peeps to be prepared as well. So it's only right to do one.
Yes.
So yeah, that's how I've been, that's how I am, and all that good jazz.
Yay.
Yeah. But since you guys had a great week, or great 2 weeks, because it's been two, let's move right over to our next segment, which, of course, is Black, Brilliant, and Beautiful.
Yes. I wanted to shout out all the ladies of Delta Sigma Theta who graduated this fall. Congratulations, Sorors, yes, doing y'all's thing, whether it was undergraduate or graduate school. So, congratulations.
Facts. In fact, graduate. Congratulations to all the graduates
this
semester.
Yes. Making it through.
Y'all done made it through. Yes. I remember when we graduated, Lord, I cried.
Listen.
I couldn't stop either. Like, I just cried and cried. And then I stopped a little bit, and then I saw my mama and I cried more. Like, it just hit me. It didn't hit me about like all the assignments, all the late nights, all the working full time in order to pay for it, all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It didn't hit me until like we sit in there and we holding our little things. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh shit.
I didn't cry until, and I can still picture it, I didn't cry until I looked over and saw my dad crying. And I was like, we made it. You know, because it's like, I don't know. I think when you have parents who come from poverty or they didn't get their degree, sometimes you don't realize how proud they are of you, you know? Right. And in that moment, like, I knew my dad was proud. He didn't even need to say anything, you know? Because my dad's not that emotional guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen him cry when his mother passed away, and then when my brother graduated from college, and then when I graduated. And so it was like, I just, you know, it just makes you feel good. Like, damn, I finally, I did something that makes, you know, you like, you want to make your parents proud. And right, so I can still like picture it now, like looking over and seeing him like, oh, ugly, ugly cry. That's where I get my ugly crying from. Right, him just ugly crying. So, yes.
Yes. So shout out to all of the graduates who walked across that stage and got them good old degrees. May you guys prosper and do very, very well within your individual careers and network with one another.
Yes, please network.
Work with one another and start building y'all's own businesses, creating y'all's own businesses together. Create your networks and whatnot and utilize each other because y'all are each other's, you know, peers now. Y'all are all
and don't let yourself get complacent. Right. That's why it's good to network and always stay in communication with other people.
Facts.
Absolutely. Facts. Absolutely.
Yes. Bloop. So now we are going to move over to our main topic segment, The Vent. And Michael, it's your week, so you can go ahead and take it away.
Now, this topic is extremely, extremely, I would say taboo, but we all know about this topic. Especially when we think about, you know, growing up and our experiences as Black people, right? Mm-hmm. And this topic is centered around child discipline in the Black community. Now, y'all know, this is one for the books because competing perspectives and just you got opposite sides of it, but a lot of people truly believe and support it. And so I just wanted to, because this is a really, really deep topic, and I understand that it can be traumatizing for certain people. So just, you know, FYI, while if you're listening in on this, that's exactly what we're getting ready to talk about. We're talking about child discipline in the Black community. And for a lot of people, that translates into traumas that they haven't worked through necessarily. Yeah. But I thought it was an important topic to talk about. Because we see a lot of people talking about, you know, well, you know, my mom and my daddy with me, so I'm going to do it to my kids. And it's just like, how does that, you know what I mean? Like everybody has a different perspective, but you want to hear them out and kind of see where their thinking is coming from. So I just wanted to start it off with just asking, like growing up, like what has been your experience with discipline?
Getting my ass whooped.
I was about to say, getting that
with
ass
with a whole
beat.
Bill. But I honestly, like, I think it helped that, I mean, who I am as a person, I wasn't just, like, a mischievous child anyway. And then when you have a twin who is, it's like, oh, they get all the, like, he definitely got way more spankings than I did. I can probably count on one hand how many. I remember the times that I've gotten spanked, you know, at least beyond, I would say, 6 or 7. Like, after 6 or 7, I remember I feel like I only been spanked, like, 3 times. But those times, to me, were like, I thought I was being abused. And I'm dramatic and very emotional. Like, I would count the welts on my body. Like, you know, pitiful. I was pitiful. But I think only one of those whoopings to me was really justified. You know, I don't think the other ones were, but my twin was spanked all the time, all the time.
It was kind of a similar situation with me. Like I ain't gonna say I was a good kid, but I'm gonna say that I didn't like getting in trouble. Right. So I did. The only time I would really, really get in trouble is when I like would be in my imagination world, and I would start doing like, cause I just knew I was a Power Ranger. I just knew, and you could not tell me otherwise. So
which
I would
one?
Go. I was the black one, of course.
Of course,
I knew it. The black one.
And I would do all of the stuff that I saw on Power Rangers, and I would do it with my sisters, and I would always get my ass beat for stuff like that, or getting dirty. You know, when my mama told me not to get dirty, I did little stupid stuff that I knew wasn't right, but didn't really think about it. And so, like, I would get whoopings for that. But, like, my mama would always talk to me and tell me exactly why I'm getting my ass beat before it happened. Like, it was never excessive. I mean, right. Like, of course, when you're a child, you believe, okay, this is excessive. But yeah. It really wasn't excessive. It was just, like, you know, don't do this because This shit can hurt somebody, or you can end up in jail if you do something like this, you know, to other people, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was always a point, and she always made sure to make it a point to communicate whatever it was that I did and what was wrong with it. So it was it was always a lesson that came along with it. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm frustrated or I'm mad or you getting on my nerves, so I'm gonna beat your ass. It was never like that, you know. So that's been my experience. You know, it was like that with all of my siblings too. We did get whoopings. We did get our asses beat, and my mama had a rawhide, and it was a very thick leather belt. And when it wore down, she got a fresh one. From Oklahoma, like, it's easy to get you some leather belts, you know, real genuine leather belts. And so I don't know if you've ever felt a real genuine leather belt, but it was rough, you know. But it did definitely teach us how to think before we acted, you know, when it came to certain things. And then, like, when it came to my father, I think I got one whooping by my daddy, period. And it was, but he would yank the shit out of me, and it would scare me.
Damn.
He would yank the shit out of me. If you walk it, like, say, you know, this, especially when you get to the rebellious stage, like, you preteen, adolescent, or whatever. So, like, I would, like, say little slick shit under my breath all the time when it came to him. Because at that time, I thought my daddy was an imbecile. I'm like, I just don't understand what's going on with you. You don't know nothing. Like, that was the way that I thought. And he would always hear me and snatch me and yank me around. And it would scare the shit out of me because I'm, like, not used to being touched like that. Like, you know.
Right.
And he would just, like, be like, don't talk under your breath. I heard what you're saying and all this kind of stuff or whatever. But, like, that was the extent of the discipline coming from him. Like, they were really big on talking and making sure that you knew why what you did was wrong and why not to do whatever it was that you did or say whatever it is that you said, you know. But yes, they definitely believed in tapping that ass.
I got a spanking one time for painting my brother's toes while he was asleep. I was so bored. Like, I just, and I didn't stop at just the nail bed. Like, I was painting underneath the toes.
Bye.
Like, I just started painting the whole toe. He woke up so quick.
Childish.
And just looked at me and I was like, please don't tell. Please don't tell. Daddy!
Oh my God. Damn.
But my dad was like, so my dad was the primary, you know, discipline because he was the one that raised us. Wow. But like, my mom, she wasn't around consistently enough, I think, to discipline. Mm-hmm. I think she disciplined me one time and it was like, I had got sick and like threw up. And then a bitch felt better and a bitch was hungry. Like, and so I had a slice of pizza and she got mad and whooped me for it.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that was like the last time that she had ever, like, the first and last time that I recall her ever, like, disciplining me. She's been mad at me over some things, like accused me of things that she thinks that I've done, but I haven't, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was never like, because she wasn't there, I think she just couldn't just, what was she going to do?
Right.
I mean, other than she could have whooped me for something silly like that, but I don't think she couldn't ground me. She couldn't take anything away from me. So yeah. I think when it came to her and discipline, that was like, but she would whoop my brothers though, but she had never whooped me except for that one time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that was another form of discipline that we got too. We would get, it wasn't grounding. They would just take stuff away. So, like, right. if you, a radio, now you ain't got no radio, so you just read them fucking books, you know, or, like, right. you can't watch TV, or you can't, they'll take all of the CDs or all the video games and lock them up in their closets and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, it was, that was another way that they would, like, discipline us or whatever. And time.
See, my dad too. Was all, there was no, I don't remember any time. No, none of that. Just spankings. Like, spank. An hour later, it's over.
Nah,
and call it a day.
We definitely had timeouts. Like, my mama, if we were being, like, too loud or something while she was trying to rest, like, she would call us in there to sit in front of her door and just sit there while she slept. Like, that was our time out. That was our time out.
Oh my god. It was terrible. That is hilarious.
It was childish.
I would say I feel like I've experienced like a range of different disciplinary tactics from my parents. Definitely got, you know, whoopings with the belt and all that other type of stuff, and I hated it. I'm talking about, I hated it. I didn't even during that time when I can understand, like, oh, based upon what they were saying, why I'm getting my ass whooped. Yes, I was clear about it, but I never agreed with it. I never oh, right. was like, you know what? You show right.
Whoop my ass
with this leather belt because of the thing that I did. It's completely justifiable. Please continue to whoop my ass. Like, I never, ever agreed with that. Like, but then, because my, like, so between me and my brother, of course, my brother, he used to get wore out. Like, he was just one of those children. He was like an agitator, shit starter type of individual. Mm-hmm. And so he was constantly getting his ass whooped. A lot of it stemming from like how he would act in school. But then for me, it's like, well, he act the same way at home because we steady fighting too. So, like,
right.
It didn't mean like at the time, like maybe at the time I thought, like, yeah, you about to get your ass whooped right. because of what you did and all this other type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But like we would have other, you know, we would be disciplined in other ways. One of the things that my dad would do is have us like write at the damn dictionary. Yeah. And I used to hate it. But you know what? I thank him for that now. Because I feel like my vocabulary
is very extensive.
It's very extensive. And I never even knew like young age how that was going to help me when it came time to doing standardized tests for like reading comprehension and writing and all that other type of stuff. So I kind of excelled in that. At the time as a child, I still thought it was a bunch of bullshit. Like I'm still writing out the dictionary,
can't right.
play video games. They would take all the games, had them in their room, lock that shit up. Like it was no access to that. Especially when you couldn't go outside, that was the worst because we used to love going outside, right. riding our bikes and everything. But oh no, when you fucked up, you did something, oh no, you ain't going outside. You not riding no bike. You go stay your ass in the house. And so that was like really, really, it all of the discipline. Like, I mean, even going more into the physical side, not like for whoopings, but my dad used to get very creative. He used to make us do wall sits.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Hands out. He would make us stand in the push-up position, assuming that position and all that for like hours. Not, I mean, don't get me wrong. When I look back on it now, I'm like, oh, that was like, maybe getting us in physical shape. But at the time, I hated it.
Right.
For one, the bogus part about it was that, because I was like always bigger than my brother. Mm-hmm. So his little bitty ass could stand in those positions for hours.
A lot, yeah.
And not even break a sweat. My big ass, my little chubby ass is over here, sitting up here breaking out
struggling.
My ass sweat. Struggling.
Right.
Struggling so hard. And then he goes, If you fall, I'm gonna whoop both of y'all ass. And so here you go.
Damn.
I'm sitting up here feeling all this pressure. I'm like, but that's not even fair. Like, why am I not? I'm like, so you go whoop his ass because right. I fall. Like, I mean, I never understood it. So it was just like struggling, man. I mean, eventually, y'all, after 2 hours, I ain't gonna lie, it was like one time. It was literally going into hours. Y'all was shaking, my arms were just, it was pitiful. So I just was like, fuck it, and I fell because I was like, at that point, I don't care. Mm-hmm. And then before I got my ass whooped, go say, well, you only had a few more minutes. You could have just had it for the few more minutes. I'm like, really? How was I supposed to know?
To know. You ain't put minutes. A damn clock up there.
Right.
No clock up there. And then here we both getting our ass whooped. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. And I'm just trying to think about all of the disciplines. Like, and then he would make us like sometimes we would have to stand. with our arms out, balancing books and shit, y'all. Like, it was just a whole bunch of silly shit. Because
y'all love you pledging out there.
Ain't that it?
I'm like,
like a mother.
Y'all online as fuck.
I'm just like, what are we going through all this for? Because I know in his mind, he wanted to find other ways as to not always just whoop us with a belt and everything like that. But y'all, I ain't gonna lie, I remember one time, I had to share this story. I never forget it. My dad brought me and my brother these like little tool kits. Like if you were doing like some little projects, so it had a little saw, a little measuring, a little hammer, things like that to build stuff with. So it was like supposed to be toys for boys or whatever. Mm-hmm. So mind you, I forgot how old we were. We were young, y'all. Like I might've been in the third grade, maybe. Second or third grade, maybe. And my brother was probably in kindergarten or first grade. No, he probably was in first if I was in second or third. And, you know, he gave us the thing, and we opened it. We all excited. Like, you know, you get excited when you get a present. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yay. But, you know, y'all, he never sat down with us and was like, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you do that. Like, you got to use that to, like, measure, and you got to take the saw. And, you know, it was, I felt like it was supposed to be a project where he should have definitely, definitely been involved with us.
Yeah.
Because we kids, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too, y'all. That's what I thought too. I thought that as well. But you know what? That didn't happen. And so what ended up happening was that for some odd ass fucking reason, my brother decided that he was going to take the hammer, right? And he threw it at the wall in our room. He threw it at the wall and then go dare me, be like, I bet you can't make that mark. I bet you can't hit that mark. And so I'm sitting up here like, I can definitely hit that mark. So I take the hammer, get from the other side of the room and throw it and try to hit his mark. And it was like almost there. But you know, I'm not gonna lie. Like after one, two, three, four times, I was like, okay, I'm over this. So mind you, that's just four holes in the wall, y'all.
So just four, right. Just four holes.
So my stupid ass, I'm like, I'm done with this. And so I'm finding other things to do as a kid or whatever. Not really paying attention to the fact that my brother kept on throwing, like he graduated from throwing that damn hammers to the damn butter knives, marking up the whole fucking wall. Now, y'all, it did not dawn until the room was full of fucking holes from hammers and knives. That I thought, like, in my mind, I was like, when it dawned on me, y'all, I was like, we about to get fucked up. And then I didn't even think about it. I was like, wait a minute. He did the majority of this shit. So before I knew it, like my dad, he came in. I'll never forget it. Like he came in, he started counting the holes in the wall. He started counting these motherfucking holes in the wall, y'all.
Oh,
and he was like, you know what? For every hole in the wall, that's how many licks y'all go get. I was wait a minute. Because he did the majority of this. I told him I only did like four. He was like, well, you should have said something. You didn't say anything. So now, you know, you, and then it's the whole idea like, you supposed to be the older brother. So you need to have said something. So you go get your ass whooped too. So my mom, like, ain't this a bitch? So y'all, it was, it was one of the worst whoopings that I have ever received in
my life.
Oh my
God.
I thought I was getting whooped like a slave. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. It was bad because we, we had to get ass naked, y'all. Like, we were just like,
and no, don't put close. Your hands in the way.
You so bad not put your hands
oh,
in
no,
the
no,
way.
No. Let me get to it because he got very creative. He put us across that bed, y'all. He made me and my brother both lock arms. So we had to look at each other.
Wow.
While we were getting our ass whooped. I'm talking about lick out the lick. I was like, this is death. I'm about to die.
Oh my God.
But then that's the other part that would kill me. So after, you know, we took a break, right? He took a break. Y'all, we took a break and he went downstairs and made us our favorite breakfast. I'll never forget it. Like, I'm thinking like it's over with. So he, because my dad does breakfast.
Really good,
so we got grits, sausage, toast. Like, he know what we like our favorite breakfast. So I'm sitting up here thinking it's over with. He's talking about something. Well, you know, when you finish eating because you got to get the rest of these licks. I was like, ain't this a lick? I'm like, eating slow, y'all. My food turning cold. I'm like, Like, what the hell?
It just don't even taste good anymore at that.
Right.
I'm like, God. But you know what, y'all? After that was over, I'm never in support. And I know we have more questions to talk about, but I'm completely against, you know, spanking kids for all types of reasons. But that shouldn't help. Like, all that did was just make me feel like, like, why are you whooping us like this? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. It definitely makes me think of being guilty by association, because right. my twin tried to get me to light some shit on fire when we was kids. He took my lighter.
Same.
And he was like, I bet you won't light. It was a flip flop, y'all, and a piece of paper. He was like, I bet you won't light this on fire. And I was like, I can't. And I'm trying to flick the lighter, but it was too hard. He's like, you can't do nothing right. And snap. As soon as he flicked it and the fire came up, here came daddy. We both got our ass whooped. And I just feel like I was just there watching.
You didn't do nothing.
Like, and I get it because we could have burned the house down. But it was like, shit. Damn.
It wasn't right. That's how I look at it now. That wasn't right. Now, my brother, I will be honest. Like, he did a lot of shit that warranted his own ass whoopings, and which he got. And I say warranted, not that I necessarily agree with it, but at the same time, he was in isolated incidents by himself doing dumb shit that called my parents to be like, okay, you need your ass whooped, or whatever the case may be. And so, like, there were times, but then there were times where he would be getting a whooping. I know I ain't did shit, but so while I'm over there thinking, like, damn, I'm about to get my ass whooped. I ain't do nothing. Uh-huh. I remember one time my dad looked at me. He was like, what you doing? He was like, what you looking all set for? He's like, you ain't do nothing. Did you do something? I was like, no,
I would cry every time. I would cry every time DeAndre got a whooping. I would cry. Like, it's like I feel his pain. Like, don't nobody want to watch nobody getting whooped. Mm-mm. Like, shit. No,
that's a lot.
I don't want to take his place either, but still.
Right. Like, no, that was bad.
Yeah. But when you cry, maybe like, I'll give you something to cry about. Like, wait, can you just let me be emotional? Right. Why you have to bring the spankings into it if it's not like, I'll give you something to cry about.
That's just a, like, I'm already crying. Like, what are you trying to get me to cry about? Something else? Like, let me just cry the river I'm trying to cry.
Right.
Yes.
Please.
They whoop your ass and then tell you to shut up. Tell you to be quiet.
Yes. How? Stop crying. How? You just fucking hit me several times with a bell.
Fix your face. Fix my face.
I can't. I physically can't.
I'm passing out. I'm barely even conscious.
Feeling like I'm about to die.
Fix my face. I
can't even talk. Can't breathe.
It's right, y'all. It's
counting welts.
One,
two, three, four.
Y'all, and that leads me to the next question. Is there a difference between spanking a child and abusing them?
Oh, hell
what
yeah.
What is the line?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so. I think it's a very blur. It's like a very neck and neck line. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. I joke about counting the whelps. I don't know if you would consider that to be abuse, but I feel like anytime you're leaving like substantial like marks. Bruises mm-hmm. and marks on the child, because I think a lot of times adults don't know and if it's not warranted. Like if the sky is blue and you just want to beat somebody across the head and they face and all that, I think that's abuse. Mm-hmm. But if it's like they did something to put themselves in danger or scared you as a parent, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I think those are warranted. But if it's like you've been drinking or you're on some type of substance and you're smacking your child across the face or punching them, or I think choking a child, I think hemming a child up could be, especially if they're small, I think that could be abuse. I think any type of fear.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was scared, though, of my daddy when he got the belt out. So I don't know. Yeah. But like,
every child is scared of that.
I think it's like, I don't know. I think there is definitely a difference, but I'm not quite sure. Really what I would call, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask y'all, did y'all ever used to like hide the belts?
Hell yes. It never worked though. It never worked because my mama would tell us to find the shit.
And yes, then, you would go find it. You yes. find it. And if you're not moving fast enough, it just made him.
Yes, absolutely. But I agree with Danny. Like, I think that there is definitely a line. I don't know where that is, but I do know that if you are, like she said, just beating on your child for just nothing, if you don't have no, I kind of, okay, so it's like, if you do not have any reason, if you're not teaching your child something, if there's no, mm-hmm. no lesson behind it, like if this right. is not a repercussion to some negative behavior or some dangerous behavior or something like that, then it is unwarranted. You know, right. and then I feel like that's the territory when you're in, or you end up into the abusive territory, because it's no reasoning behind why you're doing what you're doing, you know, right. and even beyond that, like if you even have a reason, you know what I mean, but you are leaving those marks on them, or you in the child ends up with like wounds or something like that, then
right, right.
You have really gone too far and beyond. Too you know far. What I mean?
There's blood, yes. lasting bruises.
There should never.
And you're whooping them more than, I mean, you should have to whoop your child every day.
Mm-hmm,
because no. at some point, you're in, it's some type of fear is happening, mm-hmm. you know?
Like, I think that the most important part of discipline is communicating and getting the Absolutely. Child to see why it is wrong. So it's like, if you aren't talking to them and saying, okay, why did you do this? Why did you think that this was a good idea to do? Okay, here's why this is not a good idea. And this is what could happen if you did this outside of this situation. You know what I'm saying? And then you say, okay, I'm a whoop you. Because that is the consequence for your actions in this moment. Right. But if you did that any other time, this would be the action or the consequence right. for that action and whatnot. I feel like if that is not the situation, then, you know, you're in the abusive realm. And mm-hmm. then also, like, just anything leaving like marks and like substantive marks and things like that. Like my mom and my dad, they never hit us on it. Like, they might have hit us like on the legs because the belt slipped a little bit. You know right. what I'm saying? But it was always just on the butt. On the
bottom.
Like,
mm-hmm.
ew, that's it. That's like it. And like, but my mama would never slap us. It was never, no.
Right. They, yeah.
They didn't do that.
I never
that.
Got slapped.
None Anything of that. That like made us feel less than, you know what I'm saying? Or like, it made us, made our self-esteem lower, or made us feel like not good about ourselves. They would never do anything like that. You know what I mean? It was just, okay, you did this and this is your lesson, and you did you learn your lesson? You know, type right. of situation. And I feel like that's the line, you know, and if you feel like it, but then I don't know, too, because then it's like, who's to say, you know, people can try to justify anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I told him to stop talking and he was still talking. Okay, well, why was he talking? Did he have something to say? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
uh-huh.
what did he say? Like that, I feel like it's very, it could be very, what's the word I'm trying to say? It's not skewed, maybe? Like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like it I don't know, it depends, but like I feel like in my case, because I know that I wouldn't be like abusive or anything like that, I'm not that type of person, you know, but I do believe in teaching lessons. Now I don't think that
absolutely
I would have to with my children, because if my children are come out anything like me, then it's just a matter of really being able to communicate, you
absolutely
know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's my opinion, at least. What about you, Michael?
So I would say that I used to, like, I feel like I have a different perspective now, because at, you know, at a certain point, I used to think that there was a difference between spanking a child and abusing them. The only reason, and I note the things that you all said too, as far mm-hmm. as like the level of intensity, what are the outcomes of this spanking and all those types of things. But recently I've been, looking at, now I can't say that I've been researching it, but it's just been, I've been able to access just based on social media, like different people who do research on the areas of like child advocacy and abuse and things like that. And so now what you see is more research pertaining to why hitting your child, whether it's a spanking or otherwise, is probably the worst thing that you can do, simply because that when children are still developing. And a lot of the physical hits, whether it's a spanking or more severe, affects their brain development. It affects how the chemicals in their brain and their development responds to that type of pain, the sensors around that, and then how their body responds to that. So to be quite honest, it's just never in a parent's best interest to physically harm, whether you're associating the spanking with being less severe as going upside the head with a damn a frying pan, because there are some situations where parents get outrageous and really just endangering the lives of their children. We see a lot of cases where unfortunately, child abuse ends in the death of children. And we're specifically talking about within Black communities. And it's unfortunate, because I would say that I would believe the parents were not intentionally trying to murder their children and that they were trying to teach them lessons, but that was just the absolute worst way that they could have done it.
Because we also don't know our own strength compared to what a child can handle.
And we assume that it's like control theory, that we, because we're adults, we know how much to give our children. And no, we don't, because I don't even know if they have a profession that assigns people whether or not how much pain a child can bear, which I think is sick. But to even go on and say, because I'm an adult, I know how much my child can take, is completely insane. And then trying to justify, well, daddy did it to me, so I'm gonna do it to my kids, and I turned out okay. No, you need to find other alternatives to discipline your child that is not associated with physically harming them. For one, like, the developmental piece really resonated with me, because we know that a lot of our children are put on different medications and they have to go see doctors for X, Y, and Z type of thing. And I'm not saying that everything that they are going for is associated with being harmed physically, but a lot of that does play into that. A lot of that plays into the development or lack thereof of their functioning brain or their responsiveness or their ability to communicate. Because a lot of times, and I'm not trying to just target Black communities, because I'm sure it happens in other communities as well, when children grow up and they're in situations where they are being spanked or whooped or whatever the case may be, that's not the best way for them to learn how to communicate what's going on. Because most times, and yes, we do have parents who will explain why I'm whooping your ass and all these other types of things, but like it's like a very skewed type of communication. It's like I'm supposed to be able to communicate with you, but at the same time, you're still physically harming me. And you have to understand, like, you don't share the same pain registration as a child. And so while you have probably experienced pain and you've made it through, you also have to take the time to unpack how have those physical spankings and whoopings affected you. And a lot of us don't have that time. That's what I was talking about earlier about the trauma and giving like a FYI before people are listening in. Because a lot of people are in therapy because of things that they haven't resolved as children in their interactions with their parents. A lot of it being physical abuse and learning what that means. And it's not just severe attacking, but something as small as, you know, spanking a child, telling them, hey, don't do this again. Don't do that no more. You're trying to communicate, but then what is the child receiving? Are you a professional psychologist to know that what you are implementing is actually helping them understand? And I get a lot of people will say, well, I turned out good and everything like that, but do you know how to communicate? Or do you follow through? Do you know how to be the person to lead? And when you struggle in those areas, like, it's like you don't think to connect them to your childhood and things that you experience at home. But a lot of that is relative. A lot of that impacts the way that you move forward and communicate today. And so for me, I just feel like, as far as the line, I just would scratch it to say that it all is abuse. Because when I think about the development of my child, even if I'm spanking them, even if there are no physical bruises, the fact that I could alter the development of their brain hurts me like no other. Like, I don't ever want to be responsible for why my child isn't where they need to be developmentally because of just a few spankings. And so again, there's research to support this, and it's emerging. And one of the leading researchers on it is Dr. Stacy Patton. She's a professor at, I think she's at Morgan State University, who has done research
in Baltimore. That's in Baltimore, right?
Yep, in Baltimore, Maryland. Yep, and she does a lot of research on that. She actually has a book out that I think it's called Spare the Rod, Spoil the Child, where she goes into these things and like the research to back it up. So like for me, I don't think it's a line. I just think we need to find alternatives as opposed to even spanking or putting our hands. There are many ways, like Josh and Danny, you both communicated, like communication, explaining. Yeah. Or like, I mean, I'll use another example. Like, I hated it, but I mean, it was better than getting physically harmed or getting hit with a belt doing wall sits or doing, you know, standing in a push-up position. I hated it, but I mean, it didn't harm me necessarily. Right. It tired me out. I was tired as fuck. Like, and went to bed immediately after. But we need to think about ways that we are not, that we are uplifting and like supporting our children as we are disciplining. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physical. So that's my
That makes me think of like, kind of like the history of it all, you know, because I think I don't really know about other households, but I really do believe. But again, I don't have the research to back it up, but I'm sure if we took a poll, it would weigh heavily in the Black community that this form of discipline is like bigger in the Black community. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder if that is tied to slavery. Mm-hmm. Because when we were out of line, you know what I'm saying? And so it makes me wonder, like, as far as like our ancestors, what was their method of discipline before being brought over here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always think about that as well. Like, and I think you're right. Like when I worked in the Department of Human Services as child welfare specialist, like any type of like discipline where you're whipping a child was considered abuse. Yeah. Like they probably wouldn't be taking your child out the home because of it. But I mean, as far as like when you're fostering a child, you're not allowed to discipline them in that manner. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, I totally get it. So as we go on, I'll share more of like kind of my beliefs as we discuss. But it definitely made me think of like the history tied into that and how we've like trained ourselves to think that it was okay. Because it's to me, it's like, to me, spanking is more like inflicting fear as well as like not even just like the lesson, the communication part. We didn't really talk about why he whooped us. You know what I mean? It was like, it was just understood we didn't make a good choice, you know? And if you don't want to get whooped again, don't make that choice. And to find out if it was a bad choice or not, you got whooped. Like, you know, depending on what it was. Like, I didn't think I would get whooped for painting his toes, but clearly it wasn't a good choice. And I didn't do it again, you know? But it's like, it's just crazy to think of that correlation between slavery and how they whipped us to keep us in line and how parents and generations of parents do that now to their children to quote unquote keep them in line.
That's interesting that you say that like that, because it does make you think about it. Like, you know, I mean, it a good way to keep people to do the what you want them to do or behave the way that you want them to behave would be to inflict fear, you know. And what better way to inflict fear than via pain, you know? And so, I mean, thinking about it in that avenue, like, it does make you lean away, you know, from wanting to.
But then at the same time, it's like you
discipline that way,
like, even though you have these fear of your parents, it's still
love and respect.
Like, it's, you know, love and respect, because it wasn't all fear. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I think that whole line of abuse too, because if it's like, if all I knew from my dad was fear and not pissing him off, I would be just this broken child. You know, and I'm already broke because of other situations, but it's like, that would be worse. But because he's always shown love and affection, and I knew that the certain situations that I did get whipped on was like a safety type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I still have that respect for him where I didn't want to make him upset. I wanted to make him proud in a sense. And then you hear kids who don't get whooped and they call their mamas cunts and bitches.
Right,
and
yes.
Have the biggest, it seems like they have the biggest disrespect for their parents, mm-hmm. you know. But I think, again, I don't think you have to instill whippings to have that respect, right. To get that respect as a parent. Yeah. So
I think there's many other forms of discipline without having to put your hands on your children, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it's up to the parents to, you know, come up with those ways of disciplining their children. Like, I think there are ways that you can, you know, teach your children, you know, and discipline them using, like, healthy ways, like
doing
calisthenics or to help build their body, because it's benefiting them at the same time. Yes, it's tough, but it's benefiting them at the same time. I do like what Michael, your dad, did by making y'all write out the dictionary, because it helped you. Absolutely. It served you in the long run, but it also taught your ass a lesson. You know what I mean? And so, like, being creative in those ways and thinking, okay, how can I build my child up, but also teach them not to do this thing at the same time? You know? So being creative in those ways, then you wouldn't even have to put your hands on a child. I feel like when you automatically resort to just putting your hands on a child, that's like you not showing your self-control, because you aren't being creative enough to think about how you can discipline your child to get them not to behave that way, you know, or not to do the things that may endanger them or somebody else. You have to think about, okay, well, what can I do in order to teach them this lesson without putting them in harm's way?
Right.
You know, or putting myself in harm's way, because, bitch, you might end up going to jail and then getting your ass beat for the rest of, you know what I'm saying?
And then I'm raised in foster care because your ass, you know what I mean?
Know how to, like, actually discipline a child appropriately, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like it's definitely nuanced, but it all comes down to you don't have to put your hands on no child.
For sure.
Like, my experience with it was my experience, you know, and I came out the way that I came out. But I will say that I did have to work through a lot of fear and a lot of doubt and a lot of sorrow and anguish as, you know, after becoming an adult because of that. And I don't know what all was inflicted via discipline, via, you know, via whoopings or whatever. Like, you don't really know how to distinguish that, you know, unless you go to therapy and talk about it, like, directly, you know, or whatever. But it's like, you do end up having to undo all of that work anyway. So you don't know if what damage you might be putting on your child or what damage you might be doing to your child in thinking that you're trying to provide corrective action. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's teaching your child to want to hit as a, when you're unhappy, depending on your approach to discipline. Like, if you're disciplining, if you're whipping out of anger or whatever, your child learns when they're mad that it's okay to hit, you know, and then they go to school and they're doing all these things in it. I mean, because truth be told, they learn from home. How these kids act at school, in public, they got that somewhere. So whether it was in their home, actually in their home, or somewhere within their environment, that's, I mean, you know, a direct influence on them, you know? And so, I mean, again, like, a lot of people who spank their kids now were spanked. So it's like it becomes a generational thing. And you just, every child is different. And you just don't know how that really is going to affect them. Like, I mean, are they going to be the type that now they're abusing women or want to fight every damn body? Or, you know what I'm saying? You just never know.
I think one of the more, like, sad things that I've witnessed, and I haven't seen it in a while, but I know you all, like, remember seeing on, like, social media, like, how parents, Black parents, would sit up here and videotape them disciplining their kids by physically whooping them and, like, putting it on social media to try to make a point. And they had whatever their reasons were for like disciplining them, whether the child did something that they weren't supposed to do or come in late or whatever, they took it upon themselves to use social media as a platform to put that out there. Now, that's out there for the entire world to see.
Yeah.
And the messages that comes from that, I don't think people take into account like the impact that those type of videos and visuals have on communities, especially Black communities, and then especially how the rest of the world oftentimes stereotypes us almost as if we need these type of disciplines in order to keep us in check. We need to be whooped like fucking slaves to keep us in check, because that's all that is going to ever help us advance in this society. And that's completely false. But these parents will put that out there, like, and they will be so proud. So like, so proud of you, you beating the shit out of your children on social media and letting the world see, I discipline my kids. Like, you fucking dummy.
Right,
like, there are other ways in which you can do that. You can do that.
Oh, that makes me think of, I always think of that scene from Baby Boy. Remember when they got their bike stolen and his liquor stolen and they ran up on the boys? And so instead of like shooting him or whatever, he ends up whipping him. And at first, Jody was like laughing, like, this is funny. But then as he keeps going, you can tell it's like, okay, this shit's not, this is fucked up. This isn't funny anymore, you know? Because at first you're like, yeah, whoop you. You need us. He's a child. You need us what. But then as you see the abuse going on, it's just like,
it clicks.
I don't know. It just, it clicks in you that, damn, okay, maybe this was, it can be taken too far.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I just think the whole use of whoopings and beatings to get a child to learn or to understand or to come through a situation is completely unnecessary, especially for Black kids. Like, we already have it tough in society as it is.
You don't want the police to be beating on you or beating on your child.
Right.
And that's a lot of parents say, do this so they won't be out here in these streets getting killed by the police.
That's still
happening regardless of whether or not whooping your child or not. There are parents who don't whoop their kids and they go out and fucking police kills them for all types of fucking reasons.
They still in prison.
They still made
poor choices and ended up behind bars. So it's like, really, what did spanking them truly teach them? Right. You know,
it doesn't work. Like, it's not a 100% thing that people can rely on nowadays. It's like, there are people who don't have relationships with their parents based upon abuse, upon the way that they were treated growing up, and couldn't wait to get out from under their home. And now they don't even fucking speak to their parents anymore. They don't have a relationship with their parents anymore, because now they're spending their time in therapy trying to unpack all of that abuse that they went through. All of that's not whether, my thing is this, whether you know, and I understand people might not know or might not want to explore other options and would rather do what was done to them. But we are in a day and age where we have to be more forward thinking than to say that all we are abuse. So the alternative for us is abuse, because that'll work. Like, pain is what's going to help us get things done. Like, we went through that shit in slavery, and that was not love. That was a complete attack on our humanity.
Right. And even that didn't work, because we still ended up trying to rebel. So it was like,
completely right. We have these options and these examples to show we don't need. That's not what you need to do with your child to get them to better understand or to have a reciprocal relationship or love. Like, it's not going to work. Like, if anything, you're going to instill fear in them, and then they'll do what they feel like they need to do because of that fear. Or you'll have them rebel against you and hate your ass.
Yes.
And then now you don't even have a relationship with your child because of the choices that you made in terms of discipline. So we just need to be more conscious about that and not rely on that as a way to get through to our kids, because our kids don't need to be whoops. Like, society already fucking does so much
whips
to Black
them
people.
Enough, right?
Yes.
To tear them down, that we don't need to do it physically.
We don't. We definitely don't.
Agreed.
Definitely don't. I feel like we've been like answering questions and stuff. So I'm gonna go to this question where it asks, Do parents feel their relationships with their children are better because of whippings, beatings?
I think so. If they go by the Bible, because that whole spare the rod, spoil the child, I think that they're feel like they would be doing us a disservice if they didn't. But I don't think spare the rod necessarily means whipping. You know what I mean?
Right.
Providing adequate, you know, discipline, because I believe that your discipline, it should match, you know what I mean? Like, the consequences, you know, should match what you did, the problem or whatever.
Right.
Because I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. And even if you can, I just feel like there's other ways you can go about that, not beating your child. But I think that they feel like, oh, you didn't end up in jail because I spanked you. You know what I mean? I really think that's how they think. Like, I saved your life because I whipped your ass, you know?
A lot of people use it as a cop-out, though. They do. They use beating their children as a cop-out.
I do it because I love you.
Yeah, and like, well, if I do this, then that's going to teach you how to behave out there in the real world. But no, like, that's not it. Like, what it is, or what it should be, is you teaching your child, you sitting them down and saying, hey, okay, it's time for us to have this conversation because I see that you've done this thing, you know, and it may be on me because I haven't taught you, but this is what you should have done. This is why you don't do what you did. You know what I'm saying? You have to have those types of conversations because that's what it takes to teach, you know. And I feel like when it comes to like them saying, or the Bible saying spare the rod, like, I mean, how do you not know? That might mean leadership in the household, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if you're not leading your child or your children or your household in general and letting them know, okay, this is why you do certain things, this is why you don't do certain things, this is why we have to be careful in these ways and move in this way, you know what I'm saying? If you're not communicating that, then you are doing your family a disservice. You know, right. You're doing your child a disservice by, you know, just whooping their ass and then sending them on their way, but they don't know why they got their ass beat. They just know that they did this and they not supposed to. But you're not telling them why they're not supposed to. You know, right. You're not giving them any of that background information. And I feel like if you can give them that background information without having to tie that physical abuse to it as well. You know, that physical atonement, that physical attribute to it as well. Like, just communicate. It's all about communication. And it's like, I feel like you do a better job at building that relationship if you actually do the communicating versus to just put your hands on a child and then send them to their room. You know?
Absolutely. Because I was the type of child that you don't need to spank me. My daddy could look at me crazy and that's all I needed. You know what I'm saying? Or just tell me why, you know? Because there was a time where me and my brother went off with my cousin, my older cousin, and her little friends, and I guess she was using my dad's lawnmower to cut grass and stuff. And so my brother was ready to go home, so he just went back home. Well, my dad had sent him to come get me because, hello, I'm the only girl. I'm a girl, little girl. He doesn't want me just by myself, like, you know, not without him, my twin. And so DeAndre came to come get me, and he's like, my cousin was like, if you love me, you'll stay and you'll hang and whatever. And I was like, okay. So I stayed. And then my daddy pulled up on our ass. He was looking all around because we were just walking Guthrie, you know. And I had to have been like probably 8, 9 years old. Whooped my ass right in the street, right there, once he found me. But he later explained to me that it was like, you know, you're a girl, like, I don't know who all these people are sometimes, like, you know, it scared me that I didn't know where you were, like, you know, he could have just said that instead of whooping me, and I would have been like, okay, that makes sense, like, I won't do it again, you know, I don't think the whooping was necessary, but to him, I bet he feels like, okay, now that I've whooped her, like, she won't do it again, she won't. And it's like, not every child needs that. Like, I don't think any child needs you to whoop them to reiterate how you feel about something, you know?
I feel like it might even do more of a damage because it might introduce that resentment towards you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you could have just talked to me. You know, I am a human. I feel like that is kind of, it introduces the viewpoint or the perspective that it could be, you know, you adding to that dehumanization, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right,
that
right.
People don't are always talking about. Like, you know, you are talking about how, you know, white people don't see us as humans, or that, you know, they do things to dehumanize us. And that is could be seen as a similar thing, like, you know, or something that dehumanizes children as well. They children, but that doesn't mean they're not human, you know, and they're going to make mistakes. They're supposed to.
They're
supposed to make mistakes, because that's how you learn. You learn via mistakes, you know, and that's how you grow. And you don't always have to be the one to point out the lesson, or and if you are, you don't have to do it via, you know, whooping their ass. You don't have to do that. Like, you could just say, okay, you fail. Do you know why you fail? Do you know how you can, the tools that you can use to where you won't fall again? You know what I'm saying? That's, I feel like, more of your responsibility. Instead of just putting your hands on a child and just saying, okay, now go into your room and think about what you did. Okay, well, what am I thinking about it? All I'm thinking about is not doing it, and the fact that you made me feel.
But not the why of the situation.
Yes, you know. Yes. And then I might be mad at you because you may have gone, I might feel like you went overboard over the situation where I was just thinking this way and you was only seeing it from your perspective. I might be thinking that about you, because you didn't take the time to even communicate.
Right. Because my dad would do, like, he would try to teach us, like, lessons, like, outside of, like, if we were in trouble. So, like, with my mom, like, being heavy on drugs, he would want to make sure we knew about that life and what that looked like to keep us from it. So he would make us watch, like, The Corner. Like, I don't know if y'all ever seen The Corner before. It was like an HBO special, I think, or Showtime special. And that shit scarred me. I was like, I ain't doing nobody's crack. Nothing, like, you know. But it's like, I wish he would have got creative like that when it came to, like, you know, like, not talking to strangers or being careful who you go off with, because there's still, you know, it's just, like you said, other ways and not. But it's like, when you know better, you do better. And I think that's where our generation comes in, because I know my dad and his generation, they weren't having this conversation about the lasting effects of, you know what I mean, of spanking your child. And I think that's kind of is sad, really, like, that they're so caught. And I know they were so caught up in, well, I got spanked, so I'm going to spank, instead of really having those conversations. But I think that's the beauty of our generation. We want to talk some shit. Let's talk about this shit as a child. What was right and what was not? What did you go through compared to what I went through? And how can we make this better for our kids in the future?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
I think that's kind of where they kind of missed out on back in the day. It's just kind of like, this is what you do. This is, and you just go on, instead of really just saying, okay, are we sure our kids is really for Susie and Billy's kids, but Tom and Jack and Gina's kids, they whooped them and they still out here running the streets. So it's like, at what point do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. We just have to, I feel like, as a community, really just come to terms with the effects of, you know, whoopings and beatings and all of the other type of stuff, and understanding what are the outcomes associated with that type of action.
Right.
And really, it's okay, because not that it's okay, but it's okay to have that conversation. It's more than okay. It's necessary so that people can understand where they now have the decision to actually break this type of practice and, like, begin a new resolution and something that's going to be more effective in terms of, you know, growing and learning and disciplining your children so that they can understand and not feel in fear of you, you know, and so that they can always come to you. when there are things going on. Like, that would be a strong communication plan. I'm just imagining how that could look, as opposed to, you know, come here, bring me that belt, I'm about to beat your ass. Right. All this other type of stuff, like all of those combination of things, to me, does a disservice to the relationship with your child.
Yes.
So while there are parents who might feel like, I feel like I'm closer because, you know, my child ain't gonna disrespect me. Y'all not about to be out here like how, you know, how they say how white kids be treating their parents and stuff like that. But then they also, you know, to that point about that, like, I also don't know like what type of things that white parents are doing to discipline their child. For me, that sounds like they're doing absolutely nothing and letting them not communicating, still out here living life and, you know, blowing it off. And then when little, Tommy wants to, you know, fire up the school, you want to be like, well, I never knew. Like, that's because you never take the time to communicate to find out what was going on with him. Like, he was so busy living life and trying to do all these other types of things. You have to make time.
Yes.
And then for black people, making time doesn't mean that you go and whoop your kid's ass. Like, don't.
Right.
Like, I'm saying this right now on this podcast. If you are currently doing it, understand that there are other ways in which you can discipline your child that doesn't call for you to be beating them, because it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. That should be the only thing that you're looking at in terms to communicate and educate and discipline your child. No, there are other ways. You go, as a parent, you need to prioritize, explore, and find out what those ways are and believe in them and believe in the relationship that you already have with your child, that blood relationship, and understand that it's going to work and that you're not going to have to raise your hand or belt or whatever you use to hit your kid to get them to understand. That's just... it's not helpful. It's going to hurt them more than it's going to help them. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sit up here and be responsible for why they don't develop in certain ways or why they're struggling with certain things, because these effects are long term.
Absolutely. So
that parents need, and it's okay. And I say that it's okay because I understand, like, at the point where people have these conversations, it's going to be emotional. It's going to be like, well, I don't mean that. I love my kids. And I don't, like, we understand all of that, but you have to be open minded to that. Alternative ways to discipline and get your child to understand and communicate with you. You don't have to be physical. It's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. It's harmful. Like, just be open to that. And it's not like somebody's trying to rule your household or anything like that. Just be open to ways to communicate and show love to your children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, really. Like, I mean, there are people, and y'all have said this before, people still out here fucked up. You don't whip them and all this other stuff, but then you wonder why they out here so fucked up. Mm-hmm. Wonder why they can't communicate. Wonder how they don't know how to show love, but they just physically attacking people because that's what they were taught and they feel like that's love and communication. No, it's not.
Right.
It's not. So, I mean, yeah, I like just find alternative ways. Find alternative ways. And
definitely.
I like what you said about...
and be consistent.
Giving it time. Like, giving your children time, because I feel like a lot of the reasons that children act out is, one, out of ignorance, and two, out of that lack, you know, out of lack. They want that attention, they need that attention, and so they will act out in order to get it, you know. So even though it might be negative attention, it's still attention,
right?
So if you we all know we have to motherfucking work. So if you go to work every day, you working your 9-to-5 and don't have a passion project on the side, you know what I'm saying? So you have a passion project, you working your 9-to-5, and then you also have children, you are going to have to take the time to actually give to your children to get to know who they are and make sure they know the things that they need to know what to do, what not to do, how to move, how not to move. Because I feel like that would eliminate you even having to have... to discipline them in those ways, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I get it, like, you get tired, you know, after work and all of that stuff, but you can't allow your children to not be children, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they are going to do things, they have a lot of energy, they have a lot of time, you know, to just do and be whoever and whatever they want to do and be. So you have to understand as the adult that just because you've giving your time or you're sacrificing your time for work and all these other things that you have deemed important in your life doesn't mean that the child has that same those same types of obligations other than school. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, because they didn't ask to be here.
Right. They're not conditioned in the same ways that you are. Mm-hmm. So they are going to behave in different ways that you may not be agreeable with or whatever. And you have to not allow yourself to get so angry or frustrated by that.
Yeah.
You have to allow them to be children and then talk to them and communicate to them about what you're feeling, about what you're going through, about what is happening. What's happening in the world, why it is that they shouldn't do certain things or why they should do certain things. It's all about communication and giving that time to your children so that they are aware, because if you tell them, then they will know, you know. But I feel like a lot of times people think, oh, well, they just a child, they don't know no better. Well, they don't know no better until they know better. Yes, exactly.
And you'd be surprised, because they trust and believe, as a teacher, they run thing. Mm-hmm. So just know they do, they're a lot more aware of what you think. And I think the younger the child is, the more you just need to redirect and really have set routines for them. You know, they need guidance, they need routines. Don't just have them out here willy-nilly, because that's how you get a lot of the discipline problems, you know. For sure.
Agreed.
Yes. I was going to say something else, too, but I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, if it comes back to you, you know.
I know. But I definitely, like, I'm so glad we had this conversation, especially since I'm about to have my little one, because I was, like, kind of, like I was in that boat of, she's going to get spanked, too. Like, I was spanked, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my boyfriend was like, nah. And I was really like, why? Like, we were spanked, you were spanked, and he was probably disciplined way more than I was, and that was his reason. Like, you know, I got in trouble a lot as a child, a lot of it for no reason at all. You know what I mean? And I just think that we can, there's other ways, you know, that we can discipline her without spanking her, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, he really does have a point. Like, what is really, you know, the point of just really out here just spanking our kids.
Right.
And so really having that conversation, because I think, too, you guys need to be on the same page as parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whether, even if y'all together, if y'all not, like, what they're doing in their home compared to what you're doing, you know? Because, I mean, if you're using physical punishment, if some shit go wrong, it still goes on you. You know what I mean? Like, as the parent. So I think really just being mindful and just making sure the consequences match the problem and really just finding ways to really get your child thinking about why they did something. Does that make sense to do? Like, for you, Michael, I would have had y'all fixing them damn holes and repainting the
walls. Yes.
And, because I'm not going to want to look at that. Every time I go walk in there, it's going to piss me off. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we going to have to wash the walls.
Yes.
Something like that. I think it's like really
and you paying that shit back.
Respect. Right. And respecting, you know, what your parents have done for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit ain't free. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of in the movie that we was just talking about, Bird Box. You know, she had to talk to the children. You know what I'm saying? She talked
keep
to
it
them
all real.
And kept it all the way real. If you do this, you will die. If you, like, you know what I'm saying? Don't worry about me. Worry about you. Make sure that you do this, and that. Like, you have to be open and honest with children, because children are not fools. They just don't know. You know what I'm saying? And if you whooping them, I feel like, puts barriers in them that say, okay, well, I don't want to think about, you know, what you have to say after the fact. Like, you know what I'm saying? You did this to me. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't have no repercussion when I did the thing. You're the repercussion. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that puts all that bad on you, you know, in their eyes or whatever. And it's like, to just avoid all of that. Have those conversations. You know, have those.
Sometimes they don't know. They don't know why we don't run in a parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When we're leaving the store.
Right.
Or why you don't just go somewhere without telling your parents. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because shit happens, you know?
Right,
shit
right.
really happens. Somebody could take you. Something could go wrong. And if I don't know where you are, how am I supposed to know to help you, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Well, because, you know, back in our day, we didn't have access. I didn't have a phone until junior high.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? School. So, like, I wasn't out here in the streets. Like, if I wasn't with my brother, like, I was to go. You know what I'm saying? Or my dad knew where I was at all times. So that's why you don't just go off because, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of it is safety, really, to keep you safe.
Yes.
I'm your response. I mean, you know, I'm responsible for you.
Yes.
And I think making sure that your child understands that and understands the dangers of putting your hand on a hot surface, mm-hmm. it can burn you. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes, again, like you said, sometimes they got you got to let them make that mistake,
mm-hmm.
depending on the mistake, you know, let them, because you can only say no, hot, you know, mm-hmm. so many times before they finally have to touch it and realize, oh, shit, mama was right.
Right.
It's hot, but I'm not going to whoop you after I told you it was hot. You know, mm-hmm. like, I think you've learned. Now we can have that conversation. See why mommy told you not to touch that? Because mm-hmm. it hurt, didn't it?
Right,
yeah, it didn't feel good. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of parents would whip that ass too. Didn't I tell your ass not to?
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, but blah.
But you adding to the damage, yeah.
Adding to the damage. Like, damn, I burnt my fucking hand, and now
my ass hurt, yeah.
Now my ass hurt, and my hand a lot mm-hmm. going on right now. Yeah. So
agreed.
Yes. Yep. I think definitely just Google research. Like, please, you know,
please.
There's so many, again, so many ways, like writing a dictionary, whatever.
Yes.
You know, making them understand, like, your why. Like, why you're, because you're not saying it for no reason. You
right.
know, like,
right.
and if you feel like you get, your children are getting in trouble and it's just because they're getting on your nerves, you need to probably get them in some activities.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
so that they're not just all in your face, you know?
Right, yeah.
And there's so many free things out there anyway. So if you really, if the excuse is that you can't afford it, there's something out there that you can, you know, put them in, mm-hmm. like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Some type of activity.
Some type of activity. So just get creative. That's what I would say. Let's stop whooping our kids in 2019.
Right.
Please, let's stop doing that shit. Please, stop. Let it go.
Let's leave that slave shit.
Right.
That slave shit.
Not beneficial.
Yeah.
So, do we have any final thoughts about this?
I think we've done a good job summing it up.
I think so, too. I really think it was a really great discussion. Yeah. I'm really glad.
Yeah.
It was necessary. Definitely.
And maybe we should start talking to our parents about it. Like, hey,
yeah.
I was not really feeling that. I get that you felt beneficial, but yeah, shit.
I didn't need that.
It was nothing but God that I still turned out okay. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm even then not okay, but still.
Right.
Right.
So, yes. But yeah, that's all the final thoughts that I have.
Yeah. And I pretty much gave all of mine. So
same. I feel this. Quit beating your kids. You hear me?
Yes.
Beating your kids. You better find other ways. They are out there, very creative ways to build a better relationship with you and your child where you don't have to put your hands or other objects on them. So you
right.
can
yes.
help them be successful and thriving mm-hmm. and prosperous and all of those things that you want your child to have. So
yes, do something that I have developed their critical thinking skills mm-hmm. or a trade, you know, and not to just be fighters, you know,
yeah.
put harm on folks, physical pain. So
agreed.
Let's do better.
Let's do better.
Do better in 2019.
Yes. Come through.
Thanks. Well, that was a good conversation. I'm glad we had that.
Yeah.
So now, let's move over to our question and answer segment. Do we have anything today?
And we don't have any this week. No questions this week. But If you have some, please go and send us some at wokeandbropodcast@gmail.com. Like, I want to hear from you. I want to read your questions and answer them. Yes. So hit us up with some juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Hopefully y'all got something from the holidays, from Christmas is coming up, and yeah. New Year plans. Maybe some juicy tea didn't happen, right. And now you need our advice. Like,
hit
our inbox. Slide in our DMs for the one time.
Facts.
For the one time. WokeandBrokePodcast@gmail.com. Or slide into our IG.
Yes.
DMs. It doesn't matter. Email. Facebook.
We out here with them all.
You know, send a pigeon, child, whatever. Whatever.
Facts. Well, since we don't have any questions, let's move on to our final segment, A Word from Our Ancestors. Michael, what you got today?
Well, since we're talking about discipline, mm-hmm. and child discipline at that, like, I think it's important, like this quote that I found, I'm just going to read the quote and tie it together. It says, love is not only something you feel, it is something you do. And I chose this quote because oftentimes when we think about discipline, I know especially in the Black community, we always think it's a physical type of thing.
Right.
More specifically with the belt and other objects that we can get to get our point across to our kids. And that's not love. And so I wanted to reinterpret this and say that discipline can be a form of love. And it's something that, you know, if you feel love towards a person, especially your child, your action is going to be love, and it's not going to physically harm them, because that is so, it's not beneficial. It's not supporting them. It's not developing them. If anything, it's hindering their abilities to communicate. It's hindering their abilities to critically think about the situation. It needs to be clear communication and other alternatives, as opposed to physically hitting your children to get them to understand where you're coming from. You don't got to put your hands on them. And I understand parents, like, it's frustrating, and you're frustrated, you might be a single parent, and all these other types of things, but guess what? That's not their child's fault.
Right.
So you need to be resourceful in the ways in which you are looking to discipline your kids, and understand that hitting them is just not the way. You need to do it in love, and love is not abuse.
Right.
Yes. So
love your children to life and not abuse. And so this quote resonates with me, because we need to do everything in love when it comes to our children.
Yes. Oh, and I just remember what I was going to say, that we talk a lot about physical abuse, but verbal as well. We need to
lie
into our children. Don't speak positively over them, positiveness over them. Like, speak what you want them to be. Don't label them in ways that could do more harm as well. Like, referring to your children as bad, or just that they're passionate, or just really being mindful of what we put on them.
Mm-hmm. And don't curse at your kids.
Yeah.
Like, don't be calling them no little motherfuckers. Don't be telling them they need to go sit their ass down. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just adds to it. Like, you know, that makes them feel that it's okay for other people to talk to them that way, and it's not.
For them to talk to other people that way, because, again, they come to the school and they talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Say all the curse words.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Agreed. Yes, that was a good one, Michael.
Yes, this is a good topic. I'm so glad we had the conversation. Yes,
me too.
Well, y'all know the next week is our last episode for 2018.
Yeah.
What is that? Episode 20?
Episode 20.
Come through, 20.
Yes. And we would have never made it if it wouldn't have been for all of our amazing listeners. So thank you guys so much. Yes. So we're going to catch y'all next week on our last episode of the year. I hope you guys have an amazing week, and Merry Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
Feliz Navidad.
All of that.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, y'all. Thank you for listening to Woke and Broke.
If you feeling what we're talking about, if you enjoy listening, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review us to show your support. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Woke and Broke Podcast and on Twitter at Woke and Broke Pod. We want to hear from y'all, so make sure you send us your input for this week's topics or questions that you'd like to hear us answer on the show. Send those to wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com. If you like us, tell your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your side pieces, so that they can support us too. Thanks for listening.